Perky Plains and RC here, operating at 2.4 gigahertz, and got the good old coffee, which I must say I've already had a little bit going through my veins right now, so I'm a little more alert probably than other times that I've done this. I'm an early bird, guys. I usually get up pretty early, even on the weekends and stuff. On weekdays, currently, as of right now, on weekdays, I get up at 5 a.m. And at 5 a.m., between 5 a.m. and about 6:15-ish or so, that is Chris time. That is my time. That is my time to take a shower, get prepared, wake up, all that good stuff, get me some coffee in me, you know, all that kind of thing. So, and then from about 6:15 or so on, that is me getting the rest of the crew up and going. So, yeah, during the weekdays, I'm an early bird, basically. And on the weekends, it doesn't change much. I might sleep until about 6:30 or 7, but I'm still up pretty early and doing my thing. So, what's new? What's going on? I originally had a different plan for this episode, and I think that plan is still going to happen, but I'm going to change it to maybe another, a future episode or something like that. You ever have those things where you have an idea for something, you want to do it, and all of a sudden you're like, nope, let's just try this instead. That's welcome to today's episode. That's what it is. This was going to be something else, and now it's going to be something a little bit different. It's going to be random, but it's random stuff that's important, and it'll be somewhat random, but there's also a couple of things I'm going to mention as well that were planned. So I guess you'll have to tune in next week, or I don't actually have a set schedule for this podcast. It's just whenever I do it. You'll just have to tune into the next episode or two to find out what I was actually going to cover this time. And I will say this much. It'll be interesting. The next one will be interesting. So bear with me through this one and all that. Okay. So first things first, I wanted to talk about what I talked about in the last episode, which was remote ID. All right. One of the things I'd mentioned in the previous episode was remote ID. I was basically saying, hey, manufacturers, or hey, whoever, where are these remote ID modules? Where are they? We're supposed to be, you know, starting to do this kind of thing, but you all have produced nothing that is tangible. So, well, guess what? I saw this. I don't know. Basically, within probably a day or two of releasing that episode to the wild, Spectrum Horizon Hobby releases their version of remote ID, their equipment that's going to do it. I think they released the announcement of it. They didn't actually have the product available yet, but they had released more or less an announcement saying, this is what we offer for remote ID. It'll be coming soon. So, and I'm talking about Sky ID. That is their equivalent to this. That is their answer to this new thing. So, there you have it. I don't know if it was an intentional planning. Yeah, I'm sure that Horizon Hobby was like, oh, Perky Plains just released his new episode on his podcast. Let's release our thing. You know, shut him up or something. I don't know. Just kidding. But it is kind of funny how I just was like, you know, hey guys, where's this remote ID thing? I don't see it. And all of a sudden, and then Horizon Hobby's like, ta-da, here it is. Here is Sky ID, our answer to this thing. So, and I'm sure that more modules are coming. I have heard, I believe Flight Test is working on, or has one as well, that they're about to release to the wild and all that good stuff. So, yeah, there you have it. So, it's coming. That's good, because September 2023 is like the time to have these things. So, and here we are. It is the beginning of September now. And on a similar note, back to remote ID and all that good jazz. I mentioned also that there was this thing called FRIAs, you know, basically a designated area that says this is our fly zone. This is where we do our model aircraft. This is where we do our drones. This is where we fly our things. You know, there's that whole option, you know, that which is completely separate, which is in the same boat, but a separate option you can do to remote ID. If you can't get to be part of a approved FRIA, then you have to buy the remote ID modules and install those. So that's the thing. And I had heard mixed things on this FRIA thing. I mean, I've heard mixed things about it. You know, I've heard, I believe Flight Test had just recently released that a lot of their FRIAs that have been submitted through Flight Test have not been approved. I heard that, you know, Edgewater was not approved. So I hear that. And then I also hear people on various groups on Facebook and other social media that says, you know, hey, my flying club is approved. And, you know, oh, I think somebody had, they actually had two flying clubs and both of those were approved. So, you know, it's kind of this mixed bag. You know, it's like you get some denials and you get some approvals. So I don't know. I don't know how that process works or what they look at. I would imagine to be approved for a FRIA, they look at things like, you know, residential property that are close to your flying field. They probably look at, obviously, airports, just make sure there's no airports close by. And also probably make sure there's no major cities or major, you know, urban developments, skyscrapers, buildings, major things like that that are in your way. I'm sure they look at those types of things. And then beyond that, I don't know. I really don't know. I wish I could tell you, but I would imagine those are things that they look at. And I would imagine, I would also imagine too, that places like the major cities, so Los Angeles, New York City, Chicago, I'm sure a lot of those places are, you know, they're very strict with what's approved there. Just because those are such, you know, major urban metropolitan areas, you know. So where I live, it's the country, basically, where I live. So I would imagine our area is not much of a concern as far as, you know, some of those major things. And on that note, this is sort of the second thing I was going to mention in this episode. Talking about FRIAs, right? Well, I was kind of unsure about the club that I'm a member of, the AMA club that I'm a member of. You know, I will be honest, in the August meeting that we had, it seems like nothing was ever mentioned about FRIA application or anything of that sort. People have talked about it a little bit, and there's been some members, you know, have addressed some concerns over remote ID and all these changes and stuff. And I was really kind of getting to the point myself where, like, what are we doing? What are we doing, guys? What's the status? What are we doing here? And we're just about to run upon our September meeting, and I was kind of prepared and planned to say in the meeting, like, hey guys, what's going on? What's up with the FRIA stuff? What's up with remote ID? And what are we doing? We've never really had a good discussion on it yet. And thankfully through social media, we have a social media page for our flying club, it was announced that one of the club members had actually pursued the FRIA application for us, and to go ahead and get that, at least get the ball rolling. And I had just found out 2 days ago from this day that I'm doing this podcast, or I'm recording this podcast, about 2 days ago, that our FRIA application was approved. So that's a big whew, kind of moment there. You know what I'm saying? So that all got squared away. So there's no need to get all up in our up you know, get a big uproar going on. Our application was approved. We're safe for now. Okay, so that was good. And like I said, we live kind of in the country, so that was probably to our benefit with this whole free application process, that we're not in anything major urban areas and stuff like that. So anyways, it gets that out of the way so that we can actually pursue flying and continue flying the way we normally do. Now, I don't know if we get some sort of little fancy transponder that we just hang at our club, you know, that we just hang in the clubhouse that just constantly feeds a GPS signal or something. I don't know how that works exactly. Unless there's something with like, I don't know. It really is kind of out of my wheelhouse at this point. I don't know what they're going to do and how to proceed with that. But like I said, regardless, we're approved. We're good for now. excuse me. I will say the weather has been changing around here. It's getting cooler. And I think that's causing my drainage to act up a little bit. So bear with me. I do a lot of hacking and coughing around this time of year. Usually it kind of more starts a little bit later, like November, December, maybe October a little bit. But I guess it's getting a head start on it. So what else is going on? Honestly, not much else. I don't know if I mentioned this before or not, but I may have, but I really feel like that my, my flying skills are getting better. I'm getting more confident and getting out there more and more and more. I kind of went through what I would call a little bit of a dormant period there for about a year or two, where I just didn't do a lot of it. And it was because we moved houses. You know, there was a period of time where we were unpacking everything out of our stuff and, getting it moved to the new house. There was a point there too where I had to leave my planes in a storage unit because I didn't have a good place to store them at the time. And it was just a mess, but it's all got squared away and things are getting better. So, I'm getting back out there again and getting more confident with things. I still like the peace and quiet of flying by yourself a little bit, but I'm also enjoying flying with fellow pilots as well. So it's kind of this mixed bag. I'll still kind of do some alone flying, but I'll also make sure I got, you know, when the guys are around or something, we'll all fly together and share stories and things like that. So it's doing good. Been more active with the club and stuff. Just getting better. I guess the whole house move put me in a little bit of a depression. I don't know, but just kind of this sort of like, oh, woe is me. Can't, you know, my stuff's all packed away and I can't get it out and play with it as much. And, you know, that kind of thing. but things are getting better. And of course, you know, when you change radios too, it kind of puts a little bit of a halt on some things. But, the good news is, you know, that's progressing pretty well. I've got at least a couple airplanes fixed back up. I'm going to just start going through each one progressively, picking out which one I want to do and just going on from there. So yeah, it's all looking good. So I don't know what I'm going to fly next. I've got a couple planned ones for flying. I'm just not sure which one yet. Also, something I've been tinkering with, and this will probably be reflected in future episodes. I may have mentioned this already, but it's the good old thing known as 4K video. So this little run cam, action cam that I have, is the first ever. excuse me. Well, actually, I stand corrected. Let's put it this way. It is the first 4K action camera that I've ever had. My previous camera I had before that was a Polaroid Cube, which was only 1080p. And so this is my first 4K action cam. And the quality is amazing that you can get off of it. The unfortunate thing is I haven't quite got my skills up yet to try to do, to try to process 4K video through my video editor. So when I post up videos, yeah, the run cam is recording in 4K, but you're still getting 1080p when it gets uploaded to YouTube and everything. So I'm planning, you know, over time that on YouTube, you're going to start seeing some 4K footage. Once I get the kinks worked out with getting the software and stuff to actually make these things into 4K videos, because, you know, straight off the camera, it's 4K. But once I put it into my video editor and start splicing things, add my logo and junk, it of course, you know, by default, it's set to spit it out at 1080. So I do have 4K options there, and I just need to play with those a little bit to kind of see what settings work. YouTube has a certain set of settings that they use for 4K. So this is a whole new venture for me. This is a whole new thing to do 4K video. Just to give you an idea, this is kind of throwing some tech geek stuff out there. I recorded a minute and a half 4K video. Nothing major, just something, just a test while I was in my building. And the file size was like 700 meg. 700 meg for just a minute and a half. Like I said, the quality was amazing. And I'm going to use that as my test bed to sort of, you know, play around with my video editor and get this thing to, you know, come out in 4K, basically. I've got to basically develop some presets, settings and things to do 4K video. So that will be coming in the near future. I was thinking about doing that for my latest video, which is the T28. It was another T28 video, but time and stuff got away from me that I didn't get a chance to sort of play around with it a whole lot. So again, in the next couple of videos or something like that, you probably will start seeing some 4K footage come out, basically. So that's coming. It really is. I don't know when, but it is something that is definitely coming to the channel for sure. So my action camera is 4K. My cell phone will actually do 4K as well. But I haven't quite got the balls to attach it to one of my airplanes and fly it. Actually, I totally could probably, but I don't want to. I've known people. I've seen people that do that. They'll tape their cell phone to their plane and fly it. Pretty impressive, really. But anyways, my cell phone will do 4K, but I've not really fooled with the 4K on it. It's just not something I've messed with. I'd rather honestly do it through the action camera, just because the action camera is, of course, lighter. So. All right, so, you know, that's coming. 4K video is coming to the channel. We're almost getting to the point where things are starting, like I said, the temperature's changing, weather's getting colder. So I figure up until probably November, I'll continue flying and doing stuff. But probably after November is when I'm going to be hibernating and digging out some projects to work on. So we'll see. I'll go ahead and at least announce this here too, as far as what's coming. So a couple things. One thing is, I have some flight test kits that I have yet to put together. To give you an idea, one of those is actually replacing one that crashed. Just because it is a very dear to my heart airplane. It is a very dear to my heart piece of my childhood. And that might be enough to give it away for some people. So if you've watched my videos, then you might know or might remember that me crashing the FTC duck. Yeah, what happened to it basically that day was I had done a repair a long time ago to the wing. The wing kind of actually got a little bit of a, I came down kind of hard, and it created this little break in the wing. And so I sort of tried to fix it, and probably not in the best way at the time. I just slapped, I think I put a popsicle stick up there, and it survived for a little while, okay? But I think what happened that one day that I was flying it, that repair just gave way. And the wing just basically, or it wasn't the whole wing, just like the edge of the wing, just sort of snapped and said, I'm done. And down it came. So, and it was kind of a windy day that day. So a little bit of a wind gust had probably helped with that. And it probably was for the best to put it out of its misery because, you know, it was just ready. I think it was just ready to go. But anyways, my wife did get me a replacement as a gift, and because she felt bad, a replacement FTC duck kit that I'm going to be putting together. The sea duck, of course, is very, very, very dear to my heart. I grew up in the era of Disney cartoons back in the day, which includes Tailspin, which is what the sea duck was based off of. The airplane from Tailspin. Grew up with DuckTales, Chippendale Rescue Rangers, Goof Troop was another one that came out, Darkwing Duck. I mean, that was like my television back in the day. That was my stuff. I love that. And then, you know, that was kind of later in my childhood that I really got into those shows. If you kind of rewind back a little bit, it was actually, you know, that classic stuff out of the 80s, like He-Man, Transformers, you know, that kind of stuff. So that I grew up originally on that. And then as I got a little bit older, that's when the Disney cartoons came out with DuckTales, Tailspin, Rescue Rangers, all that stuff. So, but yes, Tailspin is super dear to my heart. And I in the back of my mind, once I got into model airplanes and stuff, I was thinking, like, it would be so cool if I could make a sea duck, if I could figure out a way to make a sea duck, you know. And it seems like no sooner that I was starting to think those thoughts, Flight Test releases their version. And to me, their version is pretty darn good, you know, for what it is. So I've seen some people out there doing their own, you know, spinoffs of the sea duck, and they were really good too. But I like what Flight Test did. Flight Test really captured it, I mean, in my opinion. They really kind of nailed it good, you know, with their kind of twist on it. So, yeah, FTC duck over the winter break is probably going to be built and put back together. I still have all the original electronics from the original sea duck. I think whenever I got everything out of it, the only thing that was broke was a prop. So that was good. But everything else should work just fine. You know, servos, ESCs, and all that good junk. So, Sea Duck will be coming back at some point. The other kit, I'm not sure what I'm going to do with it yet. I'm not going to announce anything, you know, what kit I have. But it's a kit that would be a really awesome one. It would be a really awesome one to do. The only thing is, I've heard some mixed reviews on it. Some people say it's a little bit tail heavy whenever you build it, you know, just out of the box like it is. So I don't know, but I probably will give it a shot at some point. I just don't know when. And of course, I've got my current projects I'm still working on. I still have the good old Carl Goldberg Wild Stick to kind of finish up and do more with. Something I have been thinking about and have sort of pursued, and I'm probably going to continue pursuing it as well a little bit, is, you know, I was so really caught up in the Flight Test planes. Built a lot of those over the years, flew them. But I think what I'm going to do, or what I've progressively started doing, is on occasion, I need another drink. So, what I've decided upon, on occasion, I'm going to go out and splurge. I said, just every once in a great while, and buy a plug-and-play airplane. Just a plug-and-play plug-and-play foamy, as people tend to say. Or bond and flop foamy, or whatever the case is. Just so I have something that's quick that I can slap in the car, put the battery in, and go take off. Not something I have to sit there and build and build and build. I think I burnt myself out on building a lot there for a while. But I figured it would be a good idea to have something that was readily available, slap a battery in it, and go. Don't have to sit there and fool with anything, any of that stuff. Just, you know, have something that's, bam, ready to go. And so I'm thinking seriously of continuing to pursue that. Every once in a great while, I'll purchase a new one and just kind of go from there. So, I have a really good idea for the next one I want to get. The T-28 was actually one of the first major ones I bought. I will say, despite its couple little crashes, it is still holding together pretty well. I've repaired it pretty good and where it's pretty solid, so it's doing fine. The only thing is it needs a paint job after all the damage, but other than that, it flies good. But yeah, I'm going to start continuing pursuing some of these little bind and fly, ready to fly kind of airplanes, just to have a couple in the arsenals for whenever things go down. You know, basically, if I'm having if I have to go through a period of like a bunch of repair work, I can at least have a couple planes I can just throw in and go fly real quick, basically. So, so yeah, there's that. Anything else coming to the channel? Anything else going on? Not really. As far as anything on the airplane side of things, I think I'm going to chill on Remote ID and Frias and all that kind of stuff for now, just because right now we're doing pretty good. I guess we will see what continues on with this whole thing as time goes on, more manufacturers getting on board with it, releasing things and all that good stuff. Hopefully more Fria applications will continue getting approved. Because I want to see my buddies out there flying and having fun and enjoying their stuff. I don't want to see, you know, non-compliance, so to speak. And that's what I want to see. I don't, you know, all this compliance law stuff aside, I want to see people out there flying and having a good time. So, yeah, that's mainly it. Couple outside things here kind of going on. My daughter is in school. She started back to school here within the past couple weeks. She is in kindergarten now. She had done preschool for a while, and now she is in kindergarten. I haven't really shared this in terms of a public sense. At least on here, on any of my RC related channels and this podcast or anything, I have shared it through other public means, but I have not really shared it in terms of on over here in my RC world. So I'll go ahead and share it now. For those who don't know me personally, my daughter was a preemie. She was born at 24 weeks. She weighed 1 pound and 5 ounces. So she was a tiny thing. And I don't know who out there has ever dealt with preemies and NICUs, but it is an experience. It is an experience that will have you some days just in tears. Some days it'll have you jumping for joy. Some days you'll be confused. You just don't know what's going to happen. And that's how it was with my daughter. And they had told us that originally in the NICU. They said, you're going to have good days, you're going to have bad days. You know, she's going to go up, she's going to go down. There's just things are going to happen. Okay. And, you know, with having a child in the NICU, it is an experience. If anybody out there listening wants to hear any advice or anything from me, hit me up. I'll talk about it. Just some more stats here. So yeah, 24 weeks old, a pound and 5 ounces is her weight. She was 12 inches long, as long as a ruler. She spent 95 days in the NICU. 95 days. That was 95 days of going in and out of the hospital. You know, we had times where we had work and other stuff going on. We had to still live our lives. But, you know, our life consisted basically of doing the work thing, you know, when we had to, and then run up to the hospital, check on her, all that kind of stuff. Sometimes we would sleep over at the hospital, you know, while she was there. And sometimes we would, there were times we took a day or two off because we had to, we needed it. Quite an experience. Like I said, lots of ups and downs, lots of ups and downs. There were days that, she was stubborn or had this issue or that issue. Those other days, it was just a normal day and she was doing great. So, luckily for us, and then this was our first kid, and at this point is our only kid, and will always and will pretty much be our only kid. She is now 5 years old, going to kindergarten, and is just a great little ball of life, basically. You know, we're fortunate enough that even though despite all that stuff happening, it really wasn't, it could have been much worse. It could have been much worse. You know, we're fortunate enough to, in a sense that nothing serious happened. She did go home with oxygen from the NICU. But I think it lasted about a month and then they took her off of it. She was fine. But outside of that, it was fine, buddy. I mean, it was perfectly okay. But yeah, just an experience, and a half. I'll tell you that. It's crazy to think about that. It was 5 years ago. You know, it still seems like yesterday to us. But yeah, she's doing great. Like I said, just a good little ball of life. Just so much personality. Tough little kid. And she's rotten as all get out too. She probably gets that from her mama. but yeah, just an absolute blessing. So yeah, just wanted to share that as well. I don't think I've ever shared that here on the RC thing. It's hard to believe now she's in kindergarten, going to school and stuff and all that. Something I will tell you about her too is she is super intelligent. You know, I mean, granted, she has her own little things she struggles with a little bit, but she is super intelligent. I mean, at her age, she can read stuff and she can do basic math. I mean, if it tells you anything. And it's just, it's through, you know, she's kind of a little bit of a techie. You know, she's got her tablet, you know, that she plays around on and watches YouTube videos sometimes, and there's educational stuff she watches on TV. So she's picked up a lot and learned a lot. She's like a sponge. She really is. But yeah, she can do basic reading now. I mean, she's read full sentences to us. And like I said, mathematics. She's good with math too. If anybody out there listening is going through those kinds of struggles and pains and joys right now or something, and you need someone just to talk to, like I said, hit me up. We'll talk about it. It truly is a life-changing thing. So for those that didn't know that, yeah, my daughter, she was a preemie. And it was tough, but I wouldn't change a thing. It was great. It was a interesting way of life there for a little while. All right. Well, guys, outside of that, I don't have much to report on. Like I said, this was actually going to be a completely separate episode on a whole other topic, But things just sort of changed around, and we're back to remote ID and Freo stuff again, just for a moment. Just to kind of give some updates there on things and to talk about that. I can officially say now we'll put it to rest for a while. And just kind of, you know, get back to enjoying ourselves a little bit. There are, I've discovered this, there are some pretty interesting educational things out there on remote ID and Freos. I just happened to discover this YouTube channel the other day. Give me a sec, I'll look it up here. I wish I had I'm going to probably subscribe to this dude. Just because he was super informative, and he wasn't bad-mouthing the whole thing at all, which is something I would expect, you know, given the current state of things and whatnot. So, I'm looking here. There it is. I'm going to subscribe to this guy. And just because he's going with it. He's kind of going with the whole thing. He's not fighting it. He's and just trying to be as informative as he can. And it's really weird, too, because he's an older fella. His name is Tim McKay on YouTube. I just discovered him. So, hey, Tim McKay, you get a free shout-out from me today. How cool is that? I just discovered this guy, and it was a video on the Sky ID remote ID module from Spectrum. I watched it, and it was such a different thing. It was just, you know, this old guy, which I'm used to seeing at my, I'm used to seeing some older fellows at the AMA club that I fly at and stuff. And, you know, you don't really hear, you know, I don't hear much of them talking about this remote ID stuff anyways. But here's this older fella, probably close to retirement age, or maybe he is, I don't know. But just super cool and just telling you all the information he's found out about remote ID and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, it was just interesting. You don't see much of that. You know, because most people are like, you know, are you going to comply to remote ID? And, you know, just a lot more negative things, you know. And it's like this guy was complete opposite. He was kind of just on board with the whole thing, going with the flow and all that. Speaking of which, too, and I need to get back into a little bit more, but, and I may have said this before, too, but, One channel in particular that I do like as far as informative things and as far as a hobbyist that I truly love his take on things and his opinions and all that kind of stuff is X-Jet. I'm sure a lot of you guys know X-Jet or watch his stuff, but you know, he's one channel in particular I do like to watch as well when it comes to this stuff. So... I don't do as much YouTube watching as I used to. There for a while, I used to watch all kinds of vloggers and stuff like that, but I don't watch it as much as I used to anymore. But yeah, as far as the ones I do watch flight tests sometimes. I've been kind of, you know, when I get time, I'll watch some of theirs. Like I said, X-Jet's one of them. and then this Tim McKay is kind of a new one that I might start watching too. Let me spell that out for you. Hopefully you guys, I probably should have done that originally. Oh, crap. Tim McKay. Of course, T-I-M, McKay, M-C-K-A-Y. Just make sure I get that out there. I might start watching some of his stuff too, just to kind of see what all he has to say. I only just discovered the one video so far and just kind of go from there. And some other stuff I watch. I watch my good buddy, Borgonian Evolution. He's commented on some of my stuff too. He's kind of going through a cool like guitar build phase right now and stuff. And he's getting me into it as well, which I need to actually start doing. I've been procrastinating terribly. I do guitars and guitar work and stuff. And I'm going to be probably building one here soon. So I'll provide more information on that later. But for right now, yeah, I do kind of do that a little bit. Or at least I do play guitar and play music. As far as the other hobby channels, Dutch Love, he comments on some of my stuff too. I watch some of his. There is, oh gosh, I'm going to probably forget some of this. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to halt on that topic for now, because I should just make a list and have it printed out in front of me so I can read off to you all some of the channels that I watch and have watched and recommend. This just got me off into a whole other random journey here. I'll tell you, I can be random sometimes. But anyways, like I said, we'll not worry about that right now. I will work on a list of various YouTube channels I do watch and get those for y'all in an upcoming episode. So I'm not sitting here racking my brain and wasting time. So, and I'm getting older and I can't remember stuff like I used to. So anyways, I'll put that on my to-do list as well to get a list of YouTube channels that I do watch. All right, guys, that is all for me. Like I said, you got a little backstory here about some more stuff about the free Ed remote ID and all that, as well as a little backstory about my daughter. So, hey, all kinds of neat stuff here in this episode. All right. Well, that is long enough for right now. I got some stuff I need to get doing. So, anyways, that's all for me, guys. Thank you all for watching, and we'll talk at you next episode.